You know, one question I often get asked is, how can I listen to ad-free shows? Well, the answer is simple. You plug directly into your normal podcast app, like Apple Podcasts or Google Podcasts, and you do that through an RSS link. And then you just listen like you always would, except no commercials. Here's something else you may not know. You not only get the shows early and ad-free, but you also get a ton of bonus content with AdFreeShows.com. You also get early access to many of your other favorite wrestling podcasts, from William Regal's new show to the Road Dog Brian James to Matt Hardy and so much more, starting at just $9. So quick Scott Steiner math tells us that's less than 20 cents an episode each month. See for yourself what thousands of other wrestling fans have already discovered, that AdFreeShows.com is the best value in wrestling today. Check it out for yourself at AdFreeShows.com. And if you're looking for the ultimate gift for the wrestling fan this Father's Day, you can now give the gift of ad-free shows. Head over to AdFreeGift.com right now to purchase an ad-free show subscription to get over with someone special in your life this Father's Day. That's AdFreeGift.com. Get the house you want with the payment you want at BuyWithConrad.com. And you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. At buywithconrad.com. NMLS number 65084, equal housing lender. The first step to buying a house is buywithconrad.com.
Hey, this is Kurt Angle, and welcome to the Kurt Angle Show. On the show today, we'll be discussing my very first TNA World Heavyweight Championship at Slammiversary 2007. But first, let me introduce to you my co-host, Paul Bromwell. How you doing today, Paul?
Kurt, I'm fine, but forget about how I'm doing. This is our first podcast since you had double knee replacement surgery. How in the hell are you sitting there behind a mic? How you doing, man?
A week later, I'm not doing much better. It's pretty brutal, especially when you have both knees done at the same time. I never went through anything this difficult. And I also have a little bit of a back problem. So I can't use my legs, but I can't use my back. So I'm pretty much useless. It's pretty crazy. But buddy, you know what? When I did the surgery, what they found out is they found a screw in my left knee, just hanging out in my knee socket. It's pretty incredible. It must have been from my surgery 10 years ago, the AXCL surgery I had on my left knee, and the screw popped loose and was just hanging out in my knee socket. It was crazy.
So they were able to get that all cleaned up, and so have you started rehab? Like, what's going on now? What's next for you?
Yeah, and I started rehab the next day. I mean, they're on you. They stay on you, and they want you to work through it. The quicker, the more you do without injuring yourself, the quicker you will heal. So they've had me do a lot of rehab ever since I got out of the hospital. So I go to a rehab facility 3 days a week over near my house. And then the other 4 days, I do five different sessions of rehab on my own. So it's a long process, but hopefully it'll work out. It should. And I'm very positive about this.
Very optimistic. Listen, yes. Dude, if there's anybody that I'm sure is committed to rehab like a drill sergeant, it's you. Knowing how regimented you are, how hard of a worker you are, and how committed you are, I'm sure that you're going to come back 110% from this.
And my OCD doesn't help either.
You are very OCD. I've been talking to, I reached out to Giovanna. I reached out to you a few times, and man, you both are excited because the feedback's been, hey, I'm going to be a new man.
Yeah. Hopefully new knees, new man. It sounds good to me.
There you go. Well, man, listen, you've been in our thoughts and our prayers, and as you go through this big time recovery, and like a machine. I was talking to my wife. I'm like, Beth, he is a machine. This guy, two double knee replacement, and they did some kind of leg. They straightened your legs too, type thing.
They're trying to straighten my legs. That was a lot of the problem with my last knees. My knees weren't. They actually from all the injuries and everything, they stayed bent. And it was wearing on my knees, and that's how I got arthritis in my knees, because I couldn't flex my quad extension fully. So my quad was always on fire when I was walking, And that put a lot of pressure on my knees. So that's the reason why I had to have knee surgery, is because my legs won't straighten out entirely. And that's what they're trying to do now, is straighten them out.
Well, we hope that happens too. And my goodness, Kurt, you have been through it, but you're on the other side of that surgical. I saw that nasty scar you posted on Instagram. It gave you the warning. This content, you had to push a button to see the picture. It was so gruesome. So that's when you knew it was bad, man. But again, we're all in your corner and wishing you nothing but the best with the recovery. And we'll keep you up to speed, everybody listening, on how things are going with Kurt.
Yeah, and I want to thank everybody for all your support, sending me messages on social media. I really appreciate it. Love you guys.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's been an outpouring. So cool. Well, Kurt, like you said at the start, we're going to jump right back into it, because that's what you do. You keep going, going and moving forward. And we are here to talk about your first official TNA title win from Slammiversary 15 years ago. It's June 17th, 2007. And so with that, we're going to get right into it, my friend. Sounds good. The NWA title is stripped from TNA when the agreement is ended, as we covered a few weeks ago. And were you kept in the loop regarding what a new world title would look like, Kurt, or is that just kind of an office thing?
You know what? None of the talent was kept in the loop on the design of the world title, but I thought the office did a really good job. I absolutely loved the TNA World Heavyweight Championship. I thought it was a sharp design. Everything about it was really cool, so I didn't have a problem with it.
It's an absolutely beautiful belt, Kurt, and this is where I'm going to do my first plug, probably first of many. And Kurt, I don't even know if you know this or not, but over at adfreeshows.com, just this week, they have a series called it's Title Chase, and that's the name of the series. And they dropped a brand new episode of Title Chase all about that championship belt, that first TNA championship belt that you held. They talk about how it came to be, the design of the belt, who held that title belt. And it is just an excellent documentary style look back at that championship belt. So if you're not a member, I'm telling you, this is one of those rare treats and that you won't see anywhere else unless you're a member at adfreeshows.com. So if you want to dig a little bit more into the history, the story about NWA leaving TNA, how that championship was designed and made and who held it, check it out, adfreeshows.com. And it's all about your story, Kurt, and how you won the belt. So a fantastic view there. Yeah. So Kurt, yeah, man, I'll make sure you get a copy of it so you can check it out too. It's about 40, 45 minutes long. You'll definitely enjoy it. So Kurt, when are you first told about the concept of the whole King of the Mountain match?
Right after Slammiversary. No Surrender. Right after the pay-per-view. It was a month before Slammiversary. And they came to me and told me about this King of the Mountain match. And I said, well, what are the rules? And, when they explained it to me the first time, I said, could you repeat that again? Because that is really complicated. So I was struggling to understand the rules at the beginning. So I had to be told about it three times before I understood it.
And you got to be thinking, man, if I don't understand this, I wonder how the fans are even going to understand it, right? I mean,
without a doubt. I think the fans eventually did understand it, but at first they had to be confused too.
Well, once you finally understood it, what did you think of it overall? What were your thoughts?
Well, you know what? I thought it was pretty stupid, to be honest with you. You have a ladder match, and usually you climb the ladder and you grab the title that's hanging from the ceiling. That's how you win. This is the opposite. You actually grab the title, walk up the ladder, and hang it from the ceiling. I just thought it was ass backward, but after the match, after we had the match at Slammiversary, I didn't regret it. The match was pretty damn good.
Yeah.
We did an excellent job with that match. So we're going to talk about it later on in the show, but it was pretty awesome.
Yeah. So let's get into a little bit of the background for our audience listeners, bring everybody up to speed before we get there. So you open the first Impact coming off a sacrifice with that new TNA title belt. You've declared yourself the champion. And then Sting comes out. He has some issues. He's saying he pinned Christian before he tapped out to your ankle lock. Christian comes out saying it was a 1-on-5 in that match and it wasn't fair. Here comes Jim Cornette making his way down to the ring. And he takes the title from you, Kurt, and declares no one is champion. And the title is then held up, setting the stage for all this to go down. He announces the King of the Mountain match at Slammiversary and that there will be 5 singles matches over the next 5 weeks to determine who'll be in that match. This is definitely an interesting way to build this whole thing, Kurt. What did you think of the way that they were going to determine the new champion?
Well, I thought it was a great idea, a great concept. You have 10 of the top wrestlers in the company. They have 5 matches against each other. The winner of those matches go on the King of the Mountain match, and then they perform there and they compete for the world title. I thought it was a great build-up. It doesn't get any better than that, and none of the talent was too heavy on, there wasn't anybody that was being pushed more than the other,
right,
as far as storyline. So it was like, you know, the 10 guys, they were telling the story about all 10 of us, and I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, you were on equal footing, if you will, heading into it. So there you go. Well, listen.
That's a good example. Better than mine.
No, it's all good, man. Hey, you're under so much pain medication. I'm here to help, Arthur. Can't even imagine. So Antonio Inoki, by the way, is out the show. He's representing his company, IGF. And is this your first time meeting Inoki, Kurt?
Yes. I always wanted to meet him. I heard so much about him. He was such a legend. He really did a lot of good for pro wrestling and MMA. I was really excited about meeting him.
And I got to ask, because again, he's, you know, running his own wrestling company. Is this when your talks with New Japan really start to heat up then?
Well, you know what? It started with Brock Lesnar. Brock got a hold of me. He said, listen, I'm having a falling out with New Japan. I want you to come over. I want to wrestle you for the world title. I don't want to lose to anybody over there. There was a falling out, and I don't know why he didn't want to lose to anybody over there. And so he told New Japan, Inoki, that if you get Kurt Angle, I'll lose the title. And, and Brock was putting that title up, you know, holding it up for a while. So Inoki decided to come over and talk to Dixie Carter and the TNA office about getting me involved in that match. And that's how it started. But Inoki did come over at that particular time when he did, to meet with Dixie Carter.
Ah, okay. All right. Nah, thanks for sharing that. So in the main event, you would defeat Rhino to earn your spot in the King of the Mountain match. You and Rhino, dude, you guys never really had a bad match, did you?
No, we didn't. I think the reason why is because we both had a lot of intensity. We were both very physical wrestlers, and we had great chemistry together.
Well, buddy, we have 2 clips this week. That's all, guys, 2 clips. But this is one of them. We have the ending of that Angle Rhino match. So let's check it out together.
Welcome back, everyone. Impact main event matchup. The Machine Rhino on the receiving end. And a very slow side headlock from the Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle. In terms of the future of these individuals.
Stunned the War Machine, but now, what is going on?
Dude, you're right. You guys, great chemistry. Rhino had such a hard-hitting, aggressive style. He had to be a lot of fun to be in the ring with.
He was a lot of fun. You know what? How crazy it was. As physical as he wasn't stiff at all. The kid was very light. No problem. It was like a walk in the park.
But it's crazy to watch it because you would think just the opposite because of the impact that he had.
Yeah, without a doubt.
The gore and everything.
Not stiff at all. Ah, it's pretty incredible.
Ah, that's awesome. Well, listen, the next week it's Samoa Joe versus Sting in the main event, and Joe gets the win to enter the match. So he's into the fray. After all this build to you and Sting and Christian, do you think it was good booking to get Sting out of the King of the Mountain match, or were you happy to have Joe in the match for the wrestling side of it?
Well, I think Sting could have politicked his way into the match. He could have stayed in there. It was his choice. But I think that Sting understood that we need to elevate the younger talent. And this was a feature match. And this is where you put these young talent in those matches with some of the veterans. And this was a perfect example of that. And I think Sting gave up that spot being unselfish. And I really appreciate what he did because, you know, he didn't have to do it. And he did. And that was pretty awesome.
Man, just goes to show Sting again. It seems to be that's his mantra. That's who he was as a performer in wrestling.
He always wanted to help everybody else. He was a really good guy. Great performer, too.
Yeah, what a class act. So also around this time, Kurt, it's reported in the UK's The Sun that when Dana White was asked about you and Brock Lesnar, that Dana said he had a call scheduled with you later that day. And in The Observer, it's reported you're in talks with UFC, Bodog. And do you remember the type of money offers being thrown at you around this time?
You know what? Dana White treated me really well. That's all I will say. I'm not going to throw any money offers out. But, you know, what he did... I just signed with TNA, just signed the contract, and Dana White, you know, I got a hold of him. You know, we were, after I left WWE, we were reaching out to everybody, and UFC paused and didn't get back to me right away. TNA did get back to me, and it happened very quickly, the contract signing. So by the time Dana White got back to me, I already signed with TNA, and I didn't want to go back on that signing. I didn't want to tell Dixie Carter, hey, I know I signed with you, but I decided to do UFC. So I'm not going to wrestle for you. So I asked Dana, can I wrestle and fight at the same time? He said, no, that's impossible. I can't have you do that. So I had to pass up the opportunity of being in the UFC.
Did it matter to him one way or the other, whether you were with TNA or WWE or anything like that? Some would say, well, you're with TNA. Maybe you don't have the same appeal mainstream wise. Do you think that played a role in Dana White's decision on whether or not to really try to bring you on or not?
Well, you know what? TNA was on the upswing at this particular time, so they were making a little noise. But don't forget, I was in WWE for 7 years right before that. And this happened immediately after I left the WWE. So I think my star power was still pretty high, and I don't think that would have affected Dana White's decision.
Yeah, it wouldn't have affected the negotiations at that point. Right. So, well, one of these weeks we'll have to try to see if you'll tell us the money. All right. Well, the build over the next couple of weeks to the King of the Mountain match has you backstage. You're bumping into Samoa Joe and then later brawling with him at ringside when AJ Styles attempts to attack you with a lead pipe. And then, Kurt, you throw the old ankle lock on him. AJ also qualified for the match, defeating Tom Coe. So far, bud, this sounds great. It's you, it's Joe, it's AJ. And this is setting up to be a top worker's dream match if I ever heard of it. But you're still in this King of the Mountain gimmick match. Would you have rather had a straight five-way match for the title, are you thinking in your mind at this point?
Well, before the match, before we wrestled the match, definitely. A straight five-way would have been my favorite. I don't like gimmick matches. I'll do them. I don't hate them. I do like them. I just don't love them. But having a straight five-way would have been my cup of tea. But after the fact of how the match turned out, I'm glad we did it because the match was pretty incredible.
Guys, this episode, we've talked a lot about health and the importance of taking care of yourself. And when you need your health taken care of, Elysium Health is here for you. Specifically, I want to talk today about Basis by Elysium Health, who, by the way, are the most trusted source for NAD plus supplementation. Their product Basis is clinically proven to increase levels of NAD plus by 40% safely and sustainably. They are unlike any other health company I've seen, and they're at the forefront of NAD plus supplementation. They have dozens of the world's best scientists. I'm talking 8 of them are Nobel Prize winners. NAD Plus is found in every single cell of your body and is responsible for creating energy and regulating hundreds of cell functions. But NAD Plus levels decline as you age. Man, isn't that just the worst? So for you guys like Kurt and I in your 40s and in your 50s, lack of sleep, intense exercise, unbalanced diet and sun overexposure has proven to deplete our NAD plus levels. It just happens. And that's even with stuffing chicken snacks in our throats, steamed broccoli and grilled chicken down our broken freaking necks. Decreased NAD plus levels are linked to faster biological aging and can slow down vital body functions. I don't know about you, Kurt, but this body needs to keep functioning, my friend. We have families to raise, knees to rebuild, events to go to like Top Guy Weekend, and you have fans to meet and greet, sir. So we need the edge, and Basis will do it for you. So go to trybasis.com/angle and enter code angle at checkout to save 10% off of Basis prepaid pans as well as other Elysium health supplements. That's trybasis.com/angle and use code angle at checkout to save 10%. And thank you, Elysium Health, for sponsoring this episode.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
So, Kurt, Brock Lesnar, the Beast, who we just talked about earlier, debuts in MMA at this time, taking on Kim Min-soo. Did you watch this fight at all? Do you remember that one?
Yes. Brock did an incredible job. He showed that he had the ability to be in MMA and that he had the ability to end up being champion eventually. You just knew he needed to work at it. I believe that his second fight was against Frank Mir, and he got caught in an ankle bar, ankle lock. And Brock was dominating the fight until he got
caught. Until that happened, yeah.
So Brock just had to have a little bit more experience so he wouldn't get caught in these submission holds. And he ended up doing incredibly well in MMA.
Oh, that's for sure. So the story goes on with him. I want to get back to Inoki here because he announces that his company is debuting on June 29th at Sumo Hall and that one of the main events will be Brock Lesnar taking on Kurt freaking Angle. And I want to read what the Observer had to say about that. The top two matches for the IGF debut on June 29th at Sumo Hall. The idea around Lesnar versus Angle is it will be for the real IWGP heavyweight title, or at least that's the tease. If you recall, Lesnar never lost the IWGP title in the ring and actually still has the physical belt since New Japan owed him money. There you go. That was the issue. Lesnar got a real bad rap on that one. Not that there weren't issues on both sides of that one, but his contract expired and they cut his pay, and that's when he didn't come to lose the title. As noted before, when Inoki made the deal with TNA for Angle, he told TNA that he was going to have Angle win his world title on the first show. This opens up a lot of questions. I'd be skeptical Lesnar would even do a pro wrestling match right now, particularly since when he was asked about this announcement after the Los Angeles show, he said he hadn't made a commitment to do it. Inoki the next day held a press conference and produced a contract that had his name, Lesnar's name, and another contract signed by Lesnar's agent, which he said was for the June 29th show. I can't imagine this would be the right time for Lesnar to be putting Angle over. This is all from Dave Meltzer. Plus, Lesnar has to have the attitude now about preserving his body for fighting, and as a pro wrestler, to be the Lesnar people want him to be and to work with Angle, the attitude is to give your body to pro wrestling. Even before fighting, you could see Lesnar's attitude shift in his New Japan stint. So, Kurt, were you talking with Brock at all during this time? And was there worry about how this would all go down? What was your relationship with him like?
No, Brock and I were getting along really well. We would contact each other every once in a while, keep in touch. He was telling me that his MMA career was starting and it was launching, and he was doing a lot of training. And the thing is, Brock, what was the question? You asked me if would have any problems with
that. Yeah.
Brock wouldn't have done that. He wasn't going to screw me over or not put on a great performance. He wanted to have a great wrestling match. Brock has too much pride to go in there and not put on his best performance just because he's doing MMA. He's going to have a great pro wrestling fight or match, and even if he is signed with MMA and UFC or wherever he was at that particular time. But Brock was always all about business, and he was always going to do business no matter what.
And to your point, you know, as you told the story earlier, he had said, go get Angle. I'll drop the title to him. So he obviously was all in then.
Yeah, we had a really good match. Yeah. I mean, I will tell you this. Brock was being a little safer than he normally was. He wasn't doing as much crazy stuff as he usually does. So he was a little bit more conservative, but he still put on a great match.
Yeah. No, that's great. Well, let's talk about what's going on over on the other side. On WWE, one of the most infamous angles takes place when Vince McMahon blows himself up on Raw. Do you remember seeing this? And what did you think about that whole bit?
Only Vince McMahon blowing up in a limo. And obviously, Vince McMahon came back to life. Only Vince McMahon can do that.
Yeah, you got that right. Yep, and man, it's just crazy to think already 15 years ago that went down. It was such a big moment. I think it probably made TMZ. Was there even a TMZ back then? Probably
it was a big story back then.
It was.
Yeah, everybody knew about it.
Everybody. It was everywhere. Well, so you have that going on over there. Back to TNA, though, you have Chris Harris and James Storm. They have one of the best impact matches at the time against each other in their King of the Mountain qualifier that ends up going to a double countout, so neither is qualified, Kurt. What did you think of the former America's Most Wanted, and did you think either could have been a big star when you saw that match?
You know what? After seeing that match, I knew both of them could be incredible singles wrestlers. They were great as a tag team, but, you know, these guys, I knew eventually they would split up and they would both have singles careers. I thought that they would both end up in WWE, to be honest with you, but that's how good they were. But unfortunately, they didn't. I think James Storm had the opportunity and he passed it up because of money. But I think that Chris Harris should have also been signed with WWE. That would have been really cool. And they deserved it. They were really good talents.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Both very talented performers. There's some other sad news around this time, Kurt, that I want to get your opinion about, and I want to hear you talk about her a little bit, and that's Sherry Martel. She would pass away on June 15th. You only worked with Sherry once in the infamous Sexy Boy skit with Shawn Michaels, but what are your memories of Sherry?
Sherry was so nice. What a sweet woman. The crazy thing is she wasn't just a pretty manager. She knew all facets of the business. She knew psychology. She was coming up with these ideas. Even if it was a song that I was singing, she was telling me what to do and how to do it. You know, she was a great performer and she was a great entertainer and she understood everything.
Man, they talk about pioneers in the business. Sherry Martel is for women's wrestling, a pioneer. Growing up, you know, I was a child wrestling fan of the 80s, and the first women's wrestlers that I ever heard of, besides Fabulous Moolah and Wendy Richter, you know, from the 85, 86 timeframe, when I was watching WrestleMania, was Sherry Martel and Medusa, who would go on to be Alondra Blaze, but they were tearing it up in the AWA, and Sherry could wrestle her ass off before she became the prominence as a manager too.
Yeah, I heard that. And I heard they were incredible talent, and
they were,
they were the leader in the women's division back then.
Yeah, they definitely were. So very sad to hear of Sherry's passing. So we move along here with Impact. On the go-home Impact, there's some booking changes in the build to King of the Mountain. And there's a second chance six-man tag match between you, Joe, and Styles, three men who qualified already, against the three men who lost in their qualifying match. So you're going against Sting, Rhino, and Tomko. And if a member of Sting, Rhino, and Tomko won, they would get a spot in the match from the person they defeated. Man, I don't know how they're keeping up with all this booking back then. How difficult is it for something like this, putting this all together when you have baby faces teaming with heels and heels facing baby faces? And I mean, it's just a big convoluted mixture of things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all intertwined. You can't really have a shine in that match. You can't really have a real heat in that match. you just have to go through the match, you know, every step and just do the moves and the move sets and come up with a finish, you know, false finishes and finish. But you can't tell a really good story because you have babies and heels teaming together and, you know, on opposite teams. And it was just really confusing. So you just had to run through the match.
Are you feeling stuck making minimum payments on your credit card debt? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you don't need perfect credit or money out of your pocket to do this. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. Oh, and did I mention no house payments for 2 months? Get rid of your credit card debt and lower your monthly payments right now at SaveWithConrad.com.
Well, you end up getting the win over Sting anyway, and I know you just had an absolute blast working with him around this time, didn't you, Kurt?
Yeah, Sting was awesome. You know, from the day I started wrestling in TNA, he had to be in his 50s at this particular time, and he could still go. I mean, the guy, he's timeless. Look at him now in AEW.
It's drinking from the fountain of youth, man. I know.
I don't know how he does it. I'm sitting here struggling with two knee replacements, and Sting's still going, and he's in his 60s. Holy crap.
Yeah, you're sitting there with stitches and staples and everything else in your body, and there's Sting jumping off the second level at a pay-per-view just a couple months
crazy,
ago.
Crazy, yes. It's
insane. Well, hey, once you're all healed up, who knows what Kurt Angle will be doing? There we go. Well, the final King of the Mountain qualifier takes place between Christian and Abyss, and Christian would get the big win. The fifth spot was announced as being a surprise at the pay-per-view. How did you feel about that? Did you like the mystery and intrigue going into the match at the pay-per-view?
It's kind of intriguing for the fans, but it doesn't sell pay-per-view buys. You know, having a mystery opponent isn't going to have people excited. Oh, I can't wait to order the pay-per-view and find out who it is. You know, for the most part, it was just for intrigue for the fans that were going to purchase the pay-per-view. I don't think it was going to bring in new buyers.
Well, Kurt, we got to talk about something interesting here, and it's about you, and you have a little bit of a belly issue, apparently. It's reported that going into Slammiversary, you came down with a case of food poisoning, and you were getting all kinds of sick over that weekend. Did you have any worry that you wouldn't be able to make it to the big match, or what would happen if you went out in the match and something went wrong? What happened?
Listen. If I'm going to win the TNA World Heavyweight Championship for the first time and be the first ever TNA World Heavyweight Champion, I'm fucking showing up for work.
Yes.
I am not missing it.
Even if it means wearing an adult diaper. But did you have a bad case of food poisoning? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I did. It was pretty bad. It was coming out of both ends.
Oh, God. I'm sure the wrestlers were just enthused about getting in the ring with you that weekend, pal. Oh, my goodness. Well, I'm glad you survived and it all worked out and you stayed hydrated and you were ready to go. So we're here. It's Slammiversary time now, which is the company's return to Nashville for the first time in a long time, by the way. You guys are at the Nashville Municipal Auditorium. When you sit down to go over a match like this, which, like you said, this is something completely different than anything that you've ever done before. Who's your agent? I know that you've said before there wasn't always agents. You guys kind of figured it out together. But do you remember if there was someone that kind of said, hey, I'll be the point person. Let's figure out how this shit's going to work.
Yeah, if I remember, it was Scott D'Amore. And,
okay.
But the MVPs of this match that structured it, that really did an incredible job, was Christian Cage and AJ Styles. Those guys were so innovative. They came up with these incredible stunts. It was really cool to be a part of that. This match was absolutely crazy. And what those guys did to structure that match, it made it a classic, seriously.
That's great. We have a clip, and we're going to show that here in a few minutes. But I wanted to go over this a little bit. Rumors were running rampant prior to the event that Jeff Jarrett would be the fifth man. However, due to the recent passing of his wife, Jill, Jeff did not appear at this event and was instead replaced by TNA original Wildcat Chris Harris as the mystery fifth man. What did you think of working with Chris?
You know what? He stepped up in this match. He had an incredible performance. I really enjoyed working with him. And he came up with the big move at the end of the show when he speared Christian off the ladder. That was an incredible stunt. I wouldn't have done that. No way in hell. And that's how I actually won the title, because I was climbing up and Christian was up there with me, and Chris Harris speared him from the top of the ladder right onto the ground. It was freaking crazy. And that was like the biggest stunt of the night. and it was pretty awesome.
Well, listen, speaking of mystery, Goliath Life can take all the mystery out of it when it comes time to think about protecting your family. Yes, it's time to tell you again about something that I am super passionate about, and it's life insurance. And you can find what you need over at goliathlife.com, and it really gives you peace of mind. Think about insurance for a second. We all get medical and auto insurance, yet we never even know if we're going to have a need for it. Let me let you in on a little secret. You need life insurance. We're all going to die. Now, as you let that reality sink in, think about what would happen if your family stopped having your income tomorrow. If you don't have a plan for that, you need to visit goliathlife.com. And I mean right now. Listen, I've lost two friends in their 40s in the last year and a half, and I don't even want to think about what their families would be going through had they not had life insurance. If you don't have it, get it. Protect your family. And I suggest you go to goliathlife.com because they've made the process of getting affordable life insurance super easy. Goliathlife.com streamlines the life insurance process by allowing you to get quotes from more than 20 carriers within minutes. And you'll pick your terms and payments to fit your budget. You pick your price, you start the online application immediately, and even schedule the medical exam to come to you. I've done it. They sent someone to my office. I skipped the phone calls, the paperwork, and the crazy invasive conversations. GoliathLife.com makes buying life insurance simple. There are no hidden fees, no upsells, no hassle, hell, not even a phone call. GoliathLife.com is life insurance in your hands on your time. Get multiple quick quotes right now from the comfort of your own home and begin your application in a few easy clicks right now at GoliathLife.com. So, Kurt, how complicated is it doing all these rules with pins and going to a penalty box? I mean, did anyone in the match just not even understand the rules? Because it just seems insane.
You had to hear it a few times, but let me explain to the fans how they did this. All right. In order to be eligible to grab the title from Jim Cornette, to climb up and hang it from the ceiling from a ladder, you had to pin somebody. That person you pin goes into a penalty box for 2 minutes. So they're out of the mix for 2 minutes, and the person that pinned them is eligible to grab the world title and go up and hang the title. So it's freaking just crazy. These roles were just, it was really hard to follow at the beginning of the match, but once you got into the match, it was a lot more easier to understand for the fans.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but once you grab that title and you have to go up and hang the belt, the other competitors they're trying to beat the shit out of you, right?
Yes. So you're not just going to walk up the ladder.
You're just not prancing title, and dancing up the ladder.
Yeah. There were a lot of ass beatings when someone grabbed titles. So it was going on that night.
So, so say you're getting your ass beat. You don't even get to the top of the ladder, put the title back up. What point does the title return? So after that 2 minutes is up, guy comes back in, the title goes back to Cornette.
Yes. If you don't do it within 2 minutes, and that was another one of the crazy rules. You had to do it within 2 minutes before your opponent got out of the penalty box. So it was really complicated.
And guys, if you're doing anything in 2 minutes, then Blue Chew's for you. Oh, sorry. We're not doing an ad for them. All right, let's get to the show. Let's get to the match, Kurt. We have the main event ending, Slammiversary. Let's check out this craziness right now.
He broke the ankle lock by kicking Angle in the head.
How do these guys still keep their balance through all of this as they're fighting on top? One shot after the other as Christian Cage has the belt in his hand, but he can't find the ring. He can't get it hung up there.
Christian went to hang the belt, and Angle caught him with a shot. Here comes Harris up the top.
Oh, no. Oh! Spears Christian Cage right up the ladder, but look at this. Kurt Angle's alone. Kurt Angle's got a chance.
He looks around. He looks above. Kurt Angle's got the belt in his hand. Kurt Angle's going to try and hit
it. Can he do it? This is what he came to DNA for.
And he did.
He's got it.
Ladies and gentlemen,
to Kurt Angle on high. It was Joe's night. He felt it the whole time, but Kurt Angle, these two, you think about the battles that they've had.
The stare down between Samoa Joe and Kurt Angle, almost as if Samoa Joe just has him in his sights at this point in anticipation of getting a shot at that goal.
And look at this. Samoa Joe holding out the hand. Will Kurt Angle accept it now that he's the champ? I mean, what sportsmanship from Samoa Joe? No! He won't! He kicks him and they give him the Olympic slam!
That's the exclamation point! Here is Slammiversary!
Kurt, he just wanted to shake your hand and congratulate you. That was kind of an asshole move.
I'm such
move.
An asshole.
What are you doing? Remind me not to shake your hand when I see you next. Holy shit.
Psst. Who's going to take care of your family if something happens to you? What would they do without your income? If you don't have a plan, you need to go to GoliathLife.com. Get a quick quote for more than 20 carriers. You don't even have to leave the house. If you need a medical exam, they'll send somebody to your house or office. You're in total control. You pick the rates, you pick the payments, you pick the terms. You're in total control, but it gives you and your family peace of mind. What if something happens to your income? Hurry to GoliathLife.com.
Well, dude, hey, let's read what Dave Meltzer had to say, because that's always entertaining. He said, Kurt Angle became the first TNA World Heavyweight Champion, winning the King of the Mountain match over, listen to these names, Samoa Joe, AJ Styles, Christian Cage, and Chris Harris in 19 minutes, 21 seconds. There's a funny backstory to all this. The afternoon of the show, somebody figured out that the TNA title belt was nowhere to be seen. The stunt guy was supposed to have it. He claimed Jim Cornette took it since he was the last person seen with it in the angle where he took it from Angle on television 5 weeks ago. Anyway, Cornette was furious about being accused of having it and forgetting it since he left it in Orlando so the company could have it. Long story short, they figured out the belt was still in Orlando. Jeremy Borash had to get a friend who works at Universal to go to the office and get the belt, board a plane, and fly to Nashville. The woman got to the building with the belt about 20 minutes before this match and got it to the ring. Have you ever heard this story before? Do you remember this?
It's freaking crazy.
So there you go. That was the story of getting this vaunted championship belt there on time. Dave continues. He said, the match was awesome. Rules of King of the Mountain are that Cornette had the belt, and you talked about it a little bit, and if a wrestler scored a pin, they were eligible to get the belt from Cornette, climb up the ladder, hang the belt, like a reverse ladder match. You know, all the sense in the world. The person losing the fall has to sit in a penalty box for 2 minutes. This allows for spots off the top of the penalty box, which is on the floor and a little higher than the top rope. So, Kurt, looking back on it, I know you said the match was fun, but is it still too much? I mean, overall for people to grasp. I mean, I guess nobody's doing these matches anymore.
I think it was a little too much, but I think we did such a great job at putting that match together that we had it make sense. So I don't regret doing it. I thought it was really awesome. I just don't know if the King of the Mountain match is an ideal match for everyone to have.
Well, here we go. He continues on here. There's a lot. Meltzer has a lot of thoughts on this. Styles was the real superstar of the match. Okay. We're going to remember that you said that, Dave, as this kind of match highlights a high flyer and a great athlete. Christian and Styles did promos on how they would work together. Christian asked Styles to lay down and take the pin so he'd be eligible, but Styles asked Christian to do so. Later, Styles tried to sunset flip Christian. First fall saw Harris pin Styles in 3:43. Angle did a spot doing three German suplexes to Joe. That's never an easy task. The match was like a WWE ladder match with continued spots of people climbing and having the ladder tipped over or taking bumps by being knocked off the ladder. Christian got punched while on the apron and ended up crotching himself into a ladder that was put between the guardrail and apron. He was still selling when Styles was backdropped by Harris over the top onto Christian, laying on the ladder. Angle would pin Harris in 8:46. When Harris was climbing, an Angle pulled him off the ladder with an Olympic slam. Joe used a muscle buster on Styles, but Angle saved. Joe choked out Angle, but referee Rudy Charles was knocked out. Of course, the ref gets knocked out. It's TNA. Angle was tapping, but no ref to see it. Oh, you tapped out.
No, I didn't.
No, the ref wasn't there. Christian hit Joe with a ladder and pinned Angle in 10:55 as Charles recovered. Joe later used a diamond cutter off the ladder on Christian. Harris and Christian were climbing. Harris flipped Christian off the ladder and was about to hang the belt when Styles used a springboard dropkick to the ladder. Goodness gracious, I need a drink of water. Styles and Joe both ended up fighting on the top of the penalty box. You remember all this? Because this is craziness.
Yeah, it is crazy.
Styles kicked Joe low and teased tossing him off. Well, that's a line I didn't think I'd read today. But Joe recovered and used the fantastic flip. The Quebecers in the 90s also used this move on Styles, who crashed to a table on the floor. Later, Harris and Christian were on the top of the cage, and Harris reversed a suplex and threw Christian off. Trying to make this exciting. Harris then came off the top of the cage with a flying clothesline on Angle. Christian was climbing, but Angle went with him. And he put the ankle lock on top of the ladder. Wow, that sounds like it was an awesome spot. Christian hit Angle with a belt shot and was about to bang the belt when Harris came off the top rope with a diving spear, knocking Christian off the ladder. That's what you talked about. You'll never forget that. Angle got the belt, and with everyone else down, he hung onto it to get the win. My goodness, Kurt, the way this all reads sounds like a fucking car crash. Can you describe the match and the damage your body takes with tables, ladders, and chairs? Oh my.
Well, it's a dangerous match. All the stunts we did, I'm surprised nobody got injured, because there were a lot of stunts in this match, like over and over. It wasn't just like three spots. It was like 10. There were a lot of ridiculous spots in this match.
How thrilled were you, though, to be the first official TNA title holder? I mean, the first time, man, you popped the cherry of that championship.
It's a huge thrill. Knowing I'm the first ever TNA World Heavyweight Champion is such a huge honor. That's why I didn't pass it up. That's why when I had food poisoning, I still showed up.
Listen, on that documentary I told you about that Ad-Free Shows put out, Title Chase, on that championship belt, this is how Conrad Thompson said it on that documentary. TNA made a statement. A new belt, a new champion. Kurt Angle was officially, TNA was officially the alternative. Their focus was on pro wrestling versus entertainment, and they had their guy, the best pro wrestler in the world, carrying that beautiful, brand new TNA World Championship. What do you think about that?
I couldn't agree with Conrad anymore.
Hey, that's how they wanted to present that, you know, and you were the face. You were the face that was running that place at the time.
Makes me feel good. That's really cool.
Would you have rather won it one-on-one from someone like Christian or Joe instead of all this, or are you just happy that you won it?
I was happy that I won it, and of course I'd want to go one-on-one, but after the way this match turned out, I don't regret doing it. I thought it was pretty incredible.
Ah, that's awesome. Well, listen, Meltzer goes on. He says, after the match, Joe went to Angle to shake his hand, which we saw. We saw the asshole move. They did an interview earlier where they set up being the final two in a handshake. Angle then turned on Joe, kicking him in the gut and laying him out with an Olympic slam. You're involved with this match, so you know what that means. You know what's coming, the star rating. 4.25 stars from Dave. Yes. It's either 4 or 5.
Thank you, Meltzer.
Yeah, it's either 4 or 5 when Kurt Angle's involved. So there you go. So listen, Kurt, the next month you're scheduled for a winner-takes-all match where you'll team with the X Division champion, who will end up being Samoa Joe, to take on Team 3D. Is there a shift in creative, or was the turn on Joe done just to set up the whole next month?
I think it was set up for the next month. I do recall at this particular time is when I was holding all the gold. So I had the world title, the X Division title, and the tag team titles, which I was tag team partners with Sting. And I do believe we had to set up that angle with Joe so I could wrestle him for the X Division title, so I could win it from him and hold all the gold. Eventually Sting and I think we wrestled Team 3D. Titles from them. So I ended up carrying all the gold at this particular time.
As you should. You're used to carrying gold, whether it's an Olympic gold medal or what have you. But, Kurt, when this pay-per-view is over, you're the champion. You know, cue the queen music. But are you a heel or babyface, or do we even know? I feel like we never know what you are in TNA.
You know what? I think they liked me as a tweener. I was always
I agree.
I was never full-blown baby or full-blown heel. But what was pretty cool about being a tweener is I could go with the full babies or the full heels, and I could be the opposite for them. So if I wrestled a really good heel, I'd be the baby face. If I wrestled a really good baby face, I'd be a heel. So I didn't mind being a tweener. It gave me more options to wrestle other guys.
Well, here's another little fun nugget from this. There's a lot of C-level celebrities at the show, but nobody bigger than Vanilla Ice, my friend. Did you get a chance to talk to him at all?
Yeah, nice guy. I absolutely loved him in the 90s. I know that's freaking crazy, but he had a cool song, man, and he was such a badass back then.
We all loved Ice Ice Baby, and so there you go. Vanilla Ice was there. I thought that was pretty cool. And some sad news, though, unfortunately. It was just a week later that the sad reality of Chris Benoit not showing up to the WWE pay-per-view Vengeance becomes known, as it's first reported. Chris, his wife, Nancy, and son were all found dead. And during the live tribute show of Raw for Chris and his family, the news began to trickle out. It was a murder-suicide from Chris to his family. Kurt, I got to ask, where are you when you first hear about the deaths? And when do you remember hearing about Chris and what he did to his family?
Well, you know, I was told that Chris didn't show up for a pay-per-view. And the company was a little concerned, but they didn't want to, you know, they thought maybe he just decided to skip it. And they didn't really, you know, there was no reason for it, but they couldn't get a hold of him. So they waited the next day to see if he would show up at TV. He didn't. So they called the police, and the police went to his house, and that's when they found the bodies. Mm. So it was pretty sad. I mean, Chris was such a good guy and incredible wrestler. And he seemed like he was a really good father and husband. I just don't know what occurred, what made him, what made the switch go off in his head. But maybe it was the concussion problem. I don't know.
Buddy, I'm sure you had to be numb, though, just shocked, yeah, didn't you, when you heard?
Knowing Chris the way I did and how close I was with him, I would have never guessed in a million years he would do anything like that.
Yeah, I mean, even as fans, and we didn't have personal relationships with them, it was just one of those things where it knocked the wind out of you, knocked you off your feet. It
certainly
what,
did.
What yeah. the hell? So I can't imagine for some of you guys that were close friends. Just incredible, just unbelievable, so sad. Well, hey, Kurt, we're not going to end the show there on that sad note. We're gonna move on, and we're going to get to some fan questions this week. And we have a couple of those, and they have some questions for you. And Patrick Ruth is going to kick us off. And he said, Kurt, when did you find out Chris Harris would be in the King of the Mountain match? So we know it was a surprise for the pay-per-view, but when do all of you, the wrestlers, find out he's going to be in it?
Well, I didn't find out till the day of the pay-per-view, but I didn't inquire to the office to find out who was going to be the fifth guy. I didn't really contact them and say, hey, who's going to be the fifth guy? I just knew that at the pay-per-view, they would show up and then we would put the match together. So I didn't know till the day of the pay-per-view, but I was pleasantly surprised and happy that it was Chris.
Ah, okay. My buddy Zol Lopez is up next. And he said, with matches like King of the Mountain, where multiple wrestlers are involved, how many are involved in laying out the match and how much of it is called in the ring? Now, I know you said Christian and AJ really kind of were the point guards, if you will. But yeah, talk about calling it in the ring. I mean, are you guys in constant communication in there?
Well, you know, there are a lot of timing issues in these matches because you have five guys. So each, you know, two guys at a time are going to take the ring and the other ones have to clear out of the ring. So there are a lot of timing issues to this. So there's a lot of memorization. There isn't a lot of improv. You don't really go off the cuff and just do whatever you have to do. The only time you do that is when you're chopping wood, punching and kicking them in the corner, just wasting time until it's your spot, until your spot comes up. So it's a really complicated match. You just you can't improvise. You have to plan everything out pretty much.
Mm. Finally, friend of the show, good buddy, Tony Flower says, we've heard from others, Bruce Pritchard has said it repeatedly, that Christian is one of the greatest in-ring workers of all time. Would you agree with this assessment of his in-ring wrestling skills?
Yeah, Christian was incredible in the ring. You know, there aren't many people that are better than Christian, but what made him special is his ability to put matches together. Singles matches, tag matches, gimmick matches, it didn't matter. Christian was so innovative and he came up with incredible ideas and concepts. He always put incredible matches together. He was a lot of the reason why the TLC matches did so well and were so popular. Christian was really good at that stuff.
Man, you know, it's cool to hear that too, because I think when you see wrestling companies sign some guys, it's like, oh, okay, now Christian's there. I wonder what he's got left in the tank. But what you don't think about initially is it's not just what he has left in the tank and what he can do for him between the ropes. It's what his influence and what he's going to be able to do for them behind the scenes, like you just said.
And that's what he was great at. He was the best at that.
Yeah, well, there you go. Well, Kurt, next week it's going to be all about King of the Ring 2000. the build up to it, you're scheduled to wrestle three matches because that's what you do. You're the machine. And eventually you become the king of the ring because you know what, buddy? That's also what you did. You just won all the freaking time. So we're going to talk about that because it is your show and we're going to celebrate that and have some fun here.
We are going to celebrate King of the Ring. I'm the King of the Ring 2000, brother.
Yeah, that's right. 22 years later and he's still wanting to march around about it. So we're going to do that. But before we get out of here, as always, we're going to talk about a few things. I'm going to start with ad-free shows. I've talked about it a few times on the show already, but I want to tell you guys, I know I mentioned Title Chase, one of the many reasons why you should be checking out adfreeshows.com. Not only do you get all the Kurt Angle episodes early ad-free, but on video, all these awesome clips that Kurt and I get to rewatch together as fans, and you get to watch his expression and reaction, which to me is worth the price of admission, but also all the bonus content. You also get to do some live Zooms, and Kurt joins those and answers your questions and gets to know you by name. Other folks that are on there. I mean, Conrad's doing podcasts now with Mick Foley. It's been announced. There's so many guys that are coming into the family. Check it out. You can see this new TNA championship belt that Kurt first won and the whole history behind it. It's fantastic. Check it out. Kurt and I are going to be together in Chicago, Labor Day weekend, on stage, having a blast with our top guys. Kurt, I can't wait for that, man.
I can't wait either. We're going to have a lot of fun. Definitely in Chicago. We did it last year. I loved it.
But dude, and last year when you and I are together, we had just started working together a little bit. Now we've got like over a year under our belts together. So
a bunch of stories to tell.
Yeah, we're got a lot more comfortable. You know, you can like, you know, throw me in an ankle lock with your new leg, whatever you need to do. We're going to have some fun. So definitely make sure you do everything you can to become a member over there. Kurt, with that, I want to talk about physicallyfit.com. Are we still doing the videos? Is that world title belt still available?
Yes. You can become the first ever physically fit world champion. All you have to do is go to physicallyfit.com, sign up on the contest link, and put together a fun or funny video of why you absolutely love chicken snacks and Snack Smart crispy protein bites. And if you win, you get the Physically Fit Nutrition World Championship. It's a $3,500 value. Ooh. It's a really incredible title.
Wow.
Now, there are going to be 10 runner-ups, too. 10 runner-ups will get $500 worth of the chicken snacks sent to them. So it's a really cool contest, and we're really trying to push it hard.
Man, fantastic. And I think, Kurt, we share the video right here on our show, too, of the winning video as well. So
yes, we are going to show it on the Kurt Angle Show. Yes.
That's awesome. All right. Well, check that out. We can't wait for that. So physicallyfit.com. Listen,
sign up on the contest link. Yes.
And also Angle Pod to get your 20% off over there. All kinds of delicious flavors of snacks. You got buffalo wing. You got honey mustard. You got all kinds of stuff. Kurt here is on video showing off the different chicken snack
Kung
flavors.
Po and honey mustard right there. We have chicken snacks and the Snack Smart organic plant protein.
Cinnamon swirl.
.com to order this. 11 different flavors. You're going to love them.
Cinnamon swirl for your sweet tooth like me. And so there you go. Go also help him out. Go to KurtAngleBrand.com. My man has hospital bills to pay, okay? He just had all kinds of stuff going on. Kurt Angle Brand, that's where you're going to get your T-shirts, your cameo videos, your milk cartons, your cowboy hats, all the merch, all the love for Kurt Angle Brand. Buddy, I'm sure people are loving it. You're still doing cameos, even if you can only sit and lay. I'm sure you're still doing them.
I did them in the hospital laying in my bed. And I said at the beginning, hey, I'm in the hospital. I just had knee surgery.
I love it.
I'm going to do this video for you.
You are unstoppable, my friend. So check it out, KurtAngleBrand.com. WildcatBelts.com, another belt, as we said before, has sold. There's two left. Kurt, look at him. He's dedicated. He's even swinging around in his chair to pull out his belt so he can show it to you. But this belt is absolutely beautiful. The Real American Hero belt. Celebrating all things Kurt Angle. It is for the Kurt Angle fan in your life, the ultimate Kurt Angle memorabilia. He has autographed the beautiful leather, all done by Andrew over at Wildcat Belts. Check that out.
And there's three left, right?
It's down to two. Down to two, Kurt.
Okay, good.
Down to two. Finally, Saturday, August 27th, it's wrestling night at the park for the Wisconsin Timber Rattlers with Kurt Angle. It's podcast at the plate, so you can watch it live in the Fox Club. Kurt and I will be there together doing a pregame podcast, answering some fan questions for all you that are in attendance. And Kurt is going to go out to the mound, and he's going to throw out the first pitch. Kurt, are you think you're going to be ready to do that, buddy?
I'm going to certainly try. I should be ready by August. Hopefully I will be. I'm going to say yes.
Wow. It's the 27th. So you got a good, probably a little less than 3 months. So if anybody can do it, it's Kurt Angle. I'll say that right now.
It's true. It's damn true.
It's damn true. So check it out. Check out their website, Wisconsin Timber Rattlers, and you can have a good time with both of us. Well, Kurt, thank you for hanging in there this week. This was a lot of fun going over Slammiversary and celebrating that big TNA championship win. We'll be back again next week, Kurt. I hope you get some rest and take care of yourself, my friend.
Thank you, Paul. I had a great time today. I appreciate it.
You got it, sir. On behalf of Kurt Angle, this is Paul Bromwell. We'll see you right here again next week on The Kurt Angle Show.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is that is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.